You can't just pluck someone off the street and put them behind a microphone.
Of course you can. How do you think Edward R. Murrow was discovered?
That is not how Edward R. Murrow was discovered.
Don't try to confuse me with the facts.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And I've got a lot of local news to talk about. Over the weekend, we had more evidence that in Democratic-led cities across the country, but in Seattle and Tacoma and throughout our region, violent crime is just exploding. In New York City, in Los Angeles, Portland, San Francisco, Baltimore, Seattle, Tacoma, Democratic-led cities where we have been soft on crime for far too long, it is now having tragic consequences for families all around our region. And I've got a bunch of stories I'm going to tell you about in just a couple of minutes here. And also, one other thing that Democrats do, I played this for you on Friday. So down in the Los Angeles area, Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, and on Friday, he went to the rail yards because there are freight trains that have stopped in a rail yard, and there are gangs of criminals that break into the boxcars, and they are stealing tens of thousands of Amazon packages that are to be delivered to people like you and me. In fact, the reporter we played you a clip from on Friday found a package just laying at her feet that was from or destined for Everett, Washington. But this is what soft on crime gets you. Just criminals thinking there's no punishment for stealing millions of dollars worth of packages. But what was so bizarre about this was the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who refused to say a certain word, or when he accidentally said it, he immediately apologized.
This is not one-off. This is organized theft. These are organized gangs of people that are coming out. And forgive me for saying gangs. I know that's not a pejorative. They're organized groups of folks.
Inside the mind of a lefty politician. They're not gang. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say gangs. Because he's afraid that gangs are associated with black people and that it's an unfair insult to say that these are criminal gangs breaking in to the boxcars, which they are. But they're not gangs. We learned that on Friday from the enlightened, progressive governor of California who told us it's not gangs. It is organized groups of folks. And so, as you know, I like to be as progressive as possible. So I'm going to change the way I talk from now on. I'm not going to use that word anymore. I'm not going to say the word gang. If I have a story about the Hell's Angels, for example, I'm going to call them a motorcycle group of folks. You know, if you have an open wound, it gets horribly infected. There's a chance of you getting... There's a chance of you getting organized group of folks green. Don't let that happen. Scrub it out good. If somebody's driving up the freeway and they see somebody from a rival organized group of folks in the car next door, they might flash a gang... Darn it. This is going to take some doing. It's going to take as long as it's taken people to say Pendergraft Law or whatever that is. No, you flash organized group of folks signs at the rival organized group of folks. In our prisons, there will be prison organized group of folks. And we're going to have to change music, too. For example, this very annoying song. It was all the rage several years ago. Gangnam Style. Nope. And we have to change it. Who did the song, Andrew? Was it Psy?
Yeah, Psy. P-S-Y. Psy.
P-S-Y. Psy. Yeah, this is a very offensive song. So I wonder if you could just edit it in to instead and just call it Organized Group of Folks ham style. And then one of the most beloved hip-hop songs of all time. No. Fix that too. Living in an organized group of folks stir paradise. So, again, just giving this to you as a PSA so you can be as enlightened as our fine Democratic leaders around the country who can't say the word gang. Ooh, I said it. Okay, without as mere prelude, let's get to our big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
So, as I said, over the weekend, Chicago, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Democratic-led cities, there is a crime epidemic. COVID is not the only epidemic. It is an epidemic, and Democratic politicians are the carriers. Now, you may recall, at the beginning of the Washington State legislative session, two legislators introduced a bill that would reduce the punishment for a drive-by shooting murder. Because they said it's just wrong to enhance the penalty for a drive-by murder versus other murders. Now, why, given that we have a record number of murders, why we have Democratic legislators who believe that this is a great time to reduce the punishment for a certain type of murder, it's a sickness. And it is about wanting to flood our streets with as many criminals as is humanly possible. And that's what too many Democrats in Olympia and in King County government and all of our various city, Pierce County city governments, you name it. In Tacoma, Saturday night, there was a drive-by shooting murder. One person dead, two others seriously injured. The assailants on the run, uncaught, but they fired from a vehicle when they murdered this guy. Now, again, according to two members of our Washington State Legislature, with many of the Democrats agreeing with this, we should reduce the punishment for that murder. And the ironic thing about this is the people they purport to help, they say, well, we have too many black and brown people in prison. Well, 80% of the murder victims in King County the last year are black and brown people. And the reason the numbers are at a record high for gun murders or gunshot murders is because we have gone soft on crime. And the gangs, which are selling the drugs that come across Joe Biden's unchecked border and come into Jay Inslee's sanctuary, Washington, the gangs are recruiting 13, 14, 15-year-olds to move product because they tell the kids, well, even if you get caught, you're not going to be punished. Or if you get punished, you'll just go to juvie for a few months, and then you'll be richly rewarded when you get out of juvie. And so that's the message out there, and we're seeing itself manifesting itself all over the place. Give you another example. There was a robbery in Puyallup, and this was last year. But in that, here's another one before I move away from Seattle. Four children were arrested over the weekend after several armed robberies in the Seattle area, according to Seattle police. A kid with a backpack was approached by three juvenile women, girls, and one boy. And the boy started to rip off the victim's backpack. When he resisted, one of the juvenile man pulled out a knife and threatened the kid with it. And then the three girls removed the victim's backpack, took items out of his pockets. Now, the same group stole a purse from an elderly woman just an hour earlier, according to court documents. So why are we getting more and more brazen? Because the message is out. If you're a kid, you're not going to be punished. Dow Constantine, no youth jail, right, Dow? You've done a great job reducing youth violence with that, haven't you? So let's go to West Seattle now, where a guy went into a Target store, grabbed a knife, told everybody, I'm going to grab a weapon and I'm going to hold you hostage. And many of the customers at this West Seattle Target, they were able to run out of the store. But some were not able to. This guy had gotten out of jail just a week ago. And there's a guy who has all kinds of criminal history. But he's also a smart guy who's never gotten help. And as you know, I believe that a key component is we should either have mental health treatment or drug and alcohol treatment or jail time. But we can't let all of these aberrant criminals out on our streets. But the guy, he did a live video at the Target store as he was holding people hostage. His name is Tim Clemens. And listening to this video, he's 31 years old. He's obviously not a stupid person. His vocabulary, the language he uses, the way it flows off his tongue suggests to me that he is somewhat intelligent. But he has had a lifetime of crime.
Well, this court case isn't to be funded. No, I'm not representing myself.
Bleep that there, Andrew. I thought we had that bleeped out.
Yeah, I got them both, I think.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. So anyway, if you're listening on the stream, don't tell anybody. But this guy, he went in and using fairly, I mean, not the language of a criminal, but the language of a mentally ill person who's got a bit of an IQ. Now the prosecutors say finally, since he took a store and customers hostage with a knife, that they're going to try to hold him for a while. Well, this same guy, he has two felony convictions since 2019. It seems like he wants to die in a police shooting. One time he had a very realistic looking BB gun and he attempted to provoke officers to shoot him. He got a 6-month sentence for that. In 2020, he had another incident with a knife at a Target store. This is the downtown Target. He demanded that police come and kill him then. He got 3 months in jail, and then they put him out on the street. So it's like our prosecutors and our judges, they are putting the most dangerous human beings alive out on the street until they kill somebody. And with a guy like this, you can be proactive. You have plenty of reason, plenty of cause to keep a violent, mentally ill person locked up from us for many, many, many years. I told you a couple of hours ago about the guy arrested for murder. He had 13 prior felonies, including the raping of his son's 17-year-old girlfriend. He was walking around free when he robbed a Puyallup convenience store and killed the owner there. And in that story, there's a crazy element to that story that I didn't tell you about. This one guy who's been in the news again over the weekend for a robbery, you'll never guess, and this is where I got to put some blame on the parents. As you know, the name Dory, that's not easy for a young man to go through life with a girl's name. I mean, it's just not easy. But this guy's parents, who robbed a store and killed the clerk, you know what his name is? Robbery. That's the name his mom gave him. Robbery. I'm not kidding you. I thought maybe this was a typo. He was convicted late last week of killing the Puyallup Corner store owner at the store that he was robbing. He got 40 years. He can get up to 40 years in prison. The guy's 19 years old, and his name is Robbery Thompson. R-O-B-B-R-I-E. Are we shocked when somebody whose mom names him Robbery commits robbery? I mean, that would be like naming a kid, Mom, why did you name me manslaughter? I didn't name you manslaughter. I was hoping that as you grew up and became an adult, you would make people laugh. So with that hope for you, I named you Man's Laughter.
It's manslaughter.
Well, they may be spelled the same, but they mean something different. One is about happy and joy, and the other one's about violence and death.
But everybody calls me manslaughter. So it makes me want to go out and kill people.
Don't name your kid robbery, okay? If you want to keep them safe from the streets, from the plague that's out there, just don't name your kid robbery. But also, it does illustrate all of these stories. Guy with 13 felonies, who, including a rape of a juvenile girl, who's arrested again. The guy at the Target store with all the priors, who clearly wants to die, and he just keeps reaching out for help. And we have judges, prosecutors who keep letting him go until he kills somebody. And then when they do kill somebody, everybody wrings their hand and they express their sadness. They say, we never should have let this happen. Even though they have constructed a system. Our politicians on the Democratic side in Olympia, our judges who are resistance in a robe, and too many prosecutors. They've created a system where it is their passion in life to let as many criminals run the streets as possible. And people are dying all around America. I mean, that guy who threw two women into Lake Washington last week, long criminal and mental health history. Just keep letting him go until he kills somebody. It's absolute madness. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Still to come, a 77-year-old woman, her house was in a landslide area in Bellevue. And so the fire department came, said, you got to get out. We're red tagging your home. You can't go back. Well, she was afraid. In fact, felt pretty certain somebody would come and try to break into her home with all the power out. And so she defied the government, went into the house, had a weapon. And she was there when, sure enough, somebody tried to break in. Her story in her words. Next. Dory Monson Show. Last week, there was a water main break in Bellevue. And one house slid off its foundation, was pretty much destroyed. Neighboring houses, I thought that this couple's house was badly damaged. I misunderstood a couple of hours ago when I talked to them. I thought their house was at a 45-degree angle, but they could see a house that was at a 45-degree angle. Their house wasn't badly damaged, but they were forced to get out because the fire department thought that their house could collapse just as their neighbor's house had. And so George and Judy Olson, they had to go to Embassy Suites to stay. And you know what other family? I just thought of this. There's another famous family that has two members whose names are George and Judy. Andrew, Nicole, can either of you tell me what family that is?
The Jetsons. Not hus-
the, yeah, very good. I thought there was no way you would know that.
Oh, how do you know that? Oh, I love the Jetsons. My favorite is the Jetsons meet the Flintstones.
Oh, man. Very good, Nicole. You've impressed me with that. But Judy was their daughter, not George's
right.
wife.
Mm-hmm.
What was his wife's name?
George and...
Meet George Jetson. Do, 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 do.
I know. I'm
Jane, Judy. His wife.
Jane, his wife. You have daughter Judy.
Daughter Judy. Their boy, Elroy.
Rosie was the robot.
Ba, 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 ba. What's the dog's name?
Astro.
Oh, man. Okay, you've impressed me. You've earned my respect.
Thank you.
Okay, finally. Okay,
about
anyway.
Time.
I digress wildly because it wasn't even the couple in the Jetsons. It's father-daughter. But this is a couple. George and Judy Olson in Bellevue. I didn't mean to get so sidetracked. So Judy said, I'm not going to stay at the Embassy Suites because if all the power is shut off and the house is dark, it's in the news that a landslide hit our neighborhood, then some punks are going to come and try to break into the house. And so she went to the house with the power shut off, cold, cold nights, armed herself with a can of mace and a pellet gun. And a couple of hours ago, she told me what happened next. You're staying at the house, which is not allowed when it's red tagged. Tell me what happened at 7:30 on Thursday morning, Judy.
Okay. Well, on Monday night, I have to back up just a little bit. On Monday night, I mean, it's freezing cold starting at 4. So I grab all my blankets that I can find and anything. And I'm not using my cell phone because I can't charge it. Then on Tuesday, it's the same, just watching and waiting to see if somebody's going to even check on me. But they're not, but I'm hiding in here. Wednesday, I'm still hiding in here. And no police, no nothing, no one's checking. But I do see a lot of people in the middle of the cul-de-sac. So my fear, and I did practice, my fear was somebody's going to break into this house because all these houses are vacant.
Sure.
And I was in bed because I just kept my clothes on and because I was going to be prepared for anything. So I didn't sleep the whole week. So I heard somebody walking on the deck. Then I heard somebody they're wiggling the doorknobs. And I thought, no, that wouldn't be my son and my husband at 7:30 in the morning. And my son would be knocking on the door. So nobody was knocking on the door. So then I thought, crap, it's happening. No. So then I grabbed my husband got me a large, scary looking black, pellet gun. And so I kept that with me the whole time along with my mace. So I put on my boots and I just checked on the deck and no one was there. And then I went to the top of some stairs that were above where our laundry room is. And then I stood there and I heard bam, bam, bam. And I thought, what? Did something fall over on the deck? And then within 10 seconds, I saw legs because I couldn't see a face. And I was standing at the top of the stairs with my gun by my side. And I realized, okay, the thing that I was worried about, that I was scared about, is actually happening. So I yelled, "You get the hell out of here!" And I'm sure the guy didn't realize that anybody was home, and he went, "Holy crap!" and then bolted out the door.
Nicely done, Judy.
So then I he ruined the whole door. The molding is off. It had a deadbolt on it. It had another lock on it. Just smashed it all in. So then I closed that all up, and then I have a generator right down there. So the generator is a big one. So I pulled that in front of the door. So I thought, okay, if this jerk comes back, I'll shoot him. So then I texted George at the Embassy Suites. He was having breakfast. So I interrupted his breakfast.
Wait a second. All rested and warm and comfortable and eating breakfast?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, George.
That's okay.
I love them. Anyway, if you want to hear the entire interview, go check out our podcast. Go to MyNorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. And we have a story that we'll have written up on MyNorthwest.com as well that'll have the audio of the entire interview. But they're a delightful couple, and 77-year-old Judy's got a little spunk to her. I like that. Hey, we talked on Friday. And this normally would not be a subject that I would have talked about, but singer Adele. One, three, four, seven, eight. 14 neighborhood dogs just ran into my driveway when I started playing this. Ugh. Anyway. I wouldn't have cared about Adele canceling her Las Vegas shows, except for the fact that Nicole and Brandy Cruz and other friends, they were planning to go see Adele in April. And so, because I care deeply about Nicole and Brandy as friends, I paid attention to the story. And I said on Friday, I don't know anything about Adele. I'm not a fan of her music. But I said, just from the way she apologized, she sounded like a horrible person.
My show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can to put it together in time and for it to be good enough for you. But we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team are down with COVID. They still are. mm-hmm. and it's been impossible to finish the show. We've been awake for over 30 hours now trying to figure it out, and I'm really, really sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
She said she was gutted by having to cancel the shows. And I said, she just sounds like a lousy person. And you defended her, Nicole, because you're a fan, and that's what fans do.
Well, of course. I think that she could have handled it better, maybe put on a little show for the people that are already there, that type of thing. But for the most part, you know, I appreciate that she wants to put on a quality show.
Oh, man. Did you read all the stories this weekend?
Oh, yeah, but people are gonna say stuff, of course.
Okay, first of all, there were 4,000 to 5,000 people who flew in, paid for airfare, paid for hotel, just to go see her. That was the centerpiece, the reason for their trips, and they don't get that. And then it turns out, I didn't know this when we were talking about on Friday, she cancels shows all the time. One time was supposedly for medical reasons. Another time was because she has stage fright. And then the stories start coming out over the weekend that she canceled, not because of COVID and the supply issues, because Vegas is drunk with musicians. If some musicians have COVID, you can find incredibly talented musicians on very short notice in Vegas. And to cancel the day before opening night. And then it turns out there was this one woman who went to see her in London, and she canceled that show. And this she works in a hospital. And then this woman goes to Vegas to finally see her, and that show gets canceled. So this woman has spent like $10,000 following Adele around the world, only to have Adele pull the plug.
Well, I'm sure she'll get to meet her when it does happen now, because that's made news. I don't know. I think it'll happen. I'm hoping that my show in April doesn't get canceled, but
well,
you know, I
and you heard the other
she's a perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist. I get
Caesar's
it.
Caesar's Palace wanted a 60-person choir for the Bond song opener, Skyfall, and she didn't want that. And then she was fighting with her set designer, Esmeralda, who's done set designs for The Weeknd and Kanye and for Adele's first world tour.
I think they probably should have known it wasn't going to happen as quickly as they hoped.
Yeah, let
Having
people
it start
know.
This month was probably silly.
She sounds like a bad person. I just
oh,
don't like her.
I don't think she's a bad person.
I don't like her. I don't like her. Well, she may not be a bad person, but her actions are bad. See, I don't make things personal anymore. We talk about actions,
not
people.
No, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's very, very good of me. Mm-hmm. Okay, great batch of awesome audio. Wait, oh, we got some Joe Biden media clips from over the weekend, the Sunday shows. You got to hear to believe. They're all shocked that Biden's doing so bad. And that's horrible, especially as Russia's on the brink of war with Ukraine. Biden voters have put the world in danger. Details coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Swept away, I'm stolen. Hit the sky fall and it crumbles. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And again, got a bunch of great, you know, we brought you two exclusive stories last week based on your tips. We got some more working on maybe as soon as tomorrow. We might have something that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And so many of our exclusive stories come on listener tips. So keep getting hold of me. And the best way is if you email me, because the text line, it's shared by all the shows, and I don't see it when I'm not on the air. So you can always email me at dmonson, M-O-N-S-O-N, at bonneville.com, and I can see your tips that way as well. Or we have a link right on mynorthwest.com, a way to contact me. So with that is mere prelude, this is when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
So, pretty much everybody knew that Joe Biden was at some early stage of dementia as he was running for president. He wouldn't go out. He was in his basement campaigning. It was the weirdest campaign in history. And when he did speak, it was becoming clearly evident that there was some cognitive decline. And it's not a joke. It's not funny. Because now you have Putin massing troops. Looks like Russia's going to invade Ukraine. Now the United States. I don't understand why we are going to risk American lives to intervene in any way between Russia and Ukraine. I understand that as a superpower, we have a moral responsibility to stop atrocities. But I do not understand risking American lives for the border war between Russia and Ukraine. Can you imagine if the United States said, you know, the cartels are killing too many American kids and the Mexican government's allowing it to happen. We're going to invade and we're going to stop them shipping drugs across the border. And Russia said, oh, no, you're not. We'll send Russian troops to stop that from happening. Well, I don't want to risk American lives for what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. The problem is we have a president who just is not cognitively there and is not going to be able to defend the world, the planet, as it may need defending. We need somebody who's a little bit sharper, and now we're stuck. Now we're stuck with somebody in severe cognitive decline. Just a few seconds ago, we got this clip where he called a Fox reporter who was asking a question a son of a you-know-what.
The only reason I don't like doing this is you never report on why I've called a meeting. And this is really important. I had a very, very...
When he says the reason I don't like doing this, it's take questions from reporters. A president who cannot answer questions.
Very, very good meeting. Total unanimity with all the European leaders. We'll talk about it later. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
Calls a reporter a stupid son of a bee for asking a question. Interesting strategy for the uniter. But the networks are complicit. They're the ones who all pushed Biden to the presidency. And now they're shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Chuck Todd on Meet the Press Sunday couldn't believe that nobody likes Joe Biden anymore.
But our new NBC News poll suggests Mr. Biden does need a reset because he's lost his identity a bit. He's no longer seen as competent and effective. He's no longer seen as a good commander-in-chief or perhaps most damaging, as easygoing and likable. In fact, just 5% of adults say Mr. Biden has performed better than expected as president. One of the many lowest firsts and fewest in our poll.
Only 5% think he's performed as expected. And on CNN, which did more than any network to elevate Joe Biden. Listen to this.
Scott, I read a piece that you just wrote essentially saying this is Joe Biden doing what Joe Biden does.
Yeah, well, I never imagined how quickly this would all unfold. The person they sold on the campaign, the nice old, you know, moderate grandpa who just wanted to help everybody get along and compromise, is not what we got over the last year. He has no mandate really to do much of anything. It's amazing that he got a couple of things done when the mandate was really pretty clear. 50-50 Senate, a near 50-50 House, and a pretty close presidential election. The mandate was simply replace Donald Trump and don't do anything drastic or stupid. And everything about this agenda is extremely drastic. And he's been angrier than I think people expected. He's been more divisive. He's been more partisan. You look at the issues. We built 5 years of coverage on
Trump. Wow, that's on CNN. No mandate, stupid, drastic, angry, divisive. That's their guy. Well done, CNN and all you networks. Okay, I got to get out of here. The John Curley and Sherry Elker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here tomorrow. Hi, Nick.
See you next time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.